just up here asking you to roll back the millage rate. I would like to see the commissioners take a hard look at what our needs and our wants are and where our efficiencies can be done at and where we can cut the budget.
You have an opportunity right now to take a rollback rate and support county employees by the firefighters. You three right here, I watched your emotions when you voted the first time right off the bat with the ad valorem taxes, and you were like, I saw the pain in your face. You could take the road back.
So Escambia County in the budget meeting, and this actually took place about 2 weeks ago, but I hadn't had a chance to listen to it entirely and to cover it on the air. But it's important you hear this conversation. This was a really interesting conversation. And you had a couple of citizens show up because it's a budget hearing and usually nobody cares because people don't pay attention to that. It's not exciting like a drag show. seriously, it's only, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, but it's not exciting enough to pay attention to. And I get it, too. I have the same reaction. Like, it's so boring. Anyway, but you had a couple of citizens show up to protest the raise in the fire MSBU. That's the 125 that's going to 250, the doubling. Okay. And then you also had them say, look, some of these citizens showed up when it came to the actual millage rate, which is your property tax bill. Okay. And again, I hate to mansplain things, but people don't always understand this. A millage is simply this. It's a thousandth. A percent is a hundredth. A millage is a thousandth. And the idea is for every $100,000 of property value, you pay $100. That's a mill, one mill. The tax rate in Escambia County, just for the county, there's all kinds of other ones built in as well, but it's 6.6 and some change. Okay, so for a $400,000 home, you're paying about $6,500, okay, for that is $660. And then all the other ones add up to the total property bill. So it's $2,400 for that. So anyway, the point is, it's the significant chunk of money you pay in your property taxes. The rollback rate would be to put the number back at the multiplier you would need in order to get the same budget total as last year, because as property tax values go up, if it's a constant rate, then the county generates more revenues, takes more of your money, your bill is higher. The rollback rate would be to keep the bill the same at the millage based on the higher value. A lot of math here. I don't mean to complicate it. I'm just trying to explain it for you. But you had a citizen saying, can you roll back the rate? Okay? And basically the county said, well, no, we're keeping it the same. And then Steve Stroberger, county commissioner for District 1, says, you know,
I know one lady, she had to go back to work. She outlived two husbands. She had to go back to work to pay for her MSBU. And there were others. There are others like that, too, that it was a strain. They're living on fixed incomes. Like I said, they're widows. And I understood that. I mean, I came here. I came here on a fixed income, too. It wasn't going to hurt me like it was going to hurt them. But I wanted to help them. And I think that we should consider a partial rollback at the very least.
And all of the butts clenched up real tight. Because that has not really been proposed much in Escambia County. We're just kind of going along at the same rate. Now, remember, for fairness, you know, the school board raised the millage by a half a mil. So, again, a $400,000 valuation home, that's an extra $200 for you. That's what they cost you. ECUA raised their rates. That's not a millage. That's a fee, but it's still a property tax increase of sorts. You know, it's a service increase. And the county is, you know, if your value of your home goes up, you're going to have to pay a higher bill. And Steve says, can we not roll back a little bit? Can we not do something?
I know. We've already talked about putting this Escambia Children's Trust on the ballot next year and letting the voters decide whether they want to incur that $25 million cost. And I'd also proposed reducing our community partners by about 25%, except for the health care and defense. Apparently that's not a big impact, but it's something.
Yeah, I mean, it's a couple million dollars. You know, it's not nothing. Okay. Granted, an $800 million budget, it's not a huge share, but it's still something. It's still real money. Now, Ashley Hoffberger, if you want to go back and listen to this, we had a really good conversation in the 5 o'clock hour. Go to the podcast page and pull up the 5 o'clock discussion. But she has proposed basically ending community partner funding to the degree that it's possible, and only doing, you know, fee for service for things like Keep Pensacola Beautiful. That's going to be a conversation. It got pushed off. It's going to be a conversation for the spring or the summer. But just be aware that that is coming. At least I expect it to. Steve Strogberger says let's cut community partners by a quarter. That's, you know, charities and organizations. And let's put the Escambia Children's Trust back on the ballot. You know, that's a significant tax source, right, that you can vote down if we want to. And he says, look, we're going to keep the MSBU. That's the fire increase.
And we've heard a lot of people talk about the fire MSBU. I'm not giving that one away. We need that. We need that, and we've needed it for a long time. I know that it's, you know, this, I can't believe we're talking about $101, that it's impacting everyone so much. We should have been applying this gradually, and we should be doing that, and we need to probably reattack this MSBU in every couple of years or 3 or 4 years or something like that, whatever it's going to take to make sure that it's properly funded.
The MSBU is the fee you pay for fire every year. It's a flat fee for your homeowners. It's going from like $125 to $250. It's doubling, and you pay that fee. Now, it's not an ad valorem, so it's not a millage. It's not based on the value of your property, but if you have a really ordinary property value of, let's say, $300,000, it's the equivalent of 0.4 mils. It's really terrible math, but that's roughly right. If you want to think about the significance of that increase, that $120 or so dollars is about, generally speaking, across all things averaged out, is about the same as 0.4 mils, and that's going to become important in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still rolling accident-free right now. Starting to see some minor delays on Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road. But other than that, 98, Highway 90, they're all looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So Steve Strohberger wants to keep the MSBU that's sort of roughly the equivalent of about 0.4 mils, okay? But he says, look, we got to help him with some kind of a partial rollback on the ad valorem.
Households are all making sacrifices, and they're going to find a way to survive this, some of them. Maybe they won't all survive. But I know at the county, we can help them by rolling back the millage, at least a partial rollback.
And again, I think at this point, all the administration and the other county commissioners are like, oh no, we've got a politician calling for a tax cut. And not even a tax cut, but a smaller tax increase. Because a partial rollback means you're still going to pay more, just a little bit less more, right?
I ran for this office to reduce the burden on taxpayers, and I'm failing at it, so I'd like to succeed. That's all.
So he feels bad, he feels guilty, he feels like he's not doing the thing he ran to do, which is to cut the burden for folks. How are the other commissioners going to react? Well, remember, Stephen Barry, Commissioner District 5, you know, what, 12 years in office, and he's been elected to another couple, so he's going to be at 16 in a couple of years. Long time in power in the county, I would say largely responsible for anything you see. You know, nobody else is more responsible. He and Lumen may have been there for, you know, a long time, same amount of time, and largely used to running things, I think Stephen Barry is. And he says, whoa, roll back, what?
When we start, you know, the departments start putting budgets together in March, and if we're going to deploy even a partial rollback rate, in my opinion, we need to have the administrator tell the budget, you know, tell the administrator so that he can, you know, push the message downhill that there's going to be a you know, even a partial rollback rate this coming year, so you're going to have reduced budgets. I mean, it's a six-month process for our directors to implement.
And he's not wrong, okay? Coming at the last second budget hearing in September of 2025 as opposed to in March or April or even in June or July when you're giving people several months to plan budgets, figure out pay raises or not, cuts, equipment they're not going to buy, all the different things that go into the budget. I mean, he's not wrong, okay? But Steve Strohberger's like, yeah, but at the end of the day, we're costing people more money and we need to cost them a little bit less. And Stephen Barry's like, well, bring it up in the spring, buddy. You know, don't bring it up now. Too late. You should have acted earlier. But what's the point of having a second budget hearing if you're not going to have the ability to change things? You know, it's why have it at all if you can't tinker?
that I can be supportive of that next year, Steve, if you want to do a partial rollback rate. And I understand the passion when people come and speak to us. I hope they're at our other, you know, at our sister agencies with the same passion, where you actually do have a millage rate increase that's being adopted, not just an increase due to the values being increased, but you have a millage rate increase being adopted. That's, you know, I would see that as much more problematic than what we're doing.
You're yelling at us for a tax rollback. What about the school board, where they actually raised? They didn't just do a non-rollback. They actually raised the tax by half a mil. You know, what about ECUA, where they raised your fees? That's what he's saying, okay? You come here yelling at us, but, you know, what about these other agencies that literally raised as opposed to didn't even do a rollback?
And really, I feel like the authority that we have over our own agency needs to be deployed in a way that's more fair to the 1,800 employees that do directly work for the county. And if that, you know, a portion of the budget reduction would probably be the elimination of positions, okay. You know, a portion of it may be the elimination of programs, okay.
Now, I'll give you the charitable and then the uncharitable view here. The charitable view is, look, the county provides necessary services. We got these employees to whom we've made promises. The directors have made budgets. It's taken a long time. And here we are. And what you're proposing is going to directly, you know, screw up all of that stuff. And in the end, people are going to quit, or we're not going to be able to retain them, or we're not going to provide services. And we got to think about that as well. The uncharitable view is, why are you thinking about the employees of the county instead of the taxpayers? You know, the taxpayers are the ones who are hurting. Well, I mean, the employees are taxpayers too. So there's a truth on both sides. But I think that some people will hear this comment by Stephen Barry. Whoa, you got to think about the employees of the county. And they're like, how about me, buddy? You know, how about you think about me and my property tax bill?
You know, if you want to, you know, try to make a commitment that there's going to be, you know, that you're going to support, and you feel like the majority of the board is going to support some rollback of millage next year, mm-hmm. Commissioner Schoberg, I'm okay with that. But it takes, I mean, it does take time. It's, you know, it takes time to expect our employees to implement these changes that we can kind of say on a whim up here.
So bring this a little earlier in the process, which was a consistent theme for Stephen Barry in this meeting. Lumen May, District 3.
I have a lot of reservations with, you know, what we've done in terms of increasing taxes, whether it's for fire or whether it's for whatever, because when people are living paycheck to paycheck, $100 matters. $200 a year matters. And so I think that you're on the right track.
Now, Lumen is in a really tricky place because most of his district is poor people. I mean, you know, it's the black district. It's poor people, generally speaking. Not everybody, but, you know, much more poor than the other four districts. And so talking about tax cuts, it resonates a lot with his people. You know, and it, District 3. I mean, I live in District 3. And then, you know, talking about the tax increase of the MSBU, putting another $125 on people's backs, is that hurts. And that's not good. So he's in a really tricky political position. You know, he's always been the voice of the people, the poor people, the low wage earners, the people in the county who aren't getting paid enough, all of that stuff. And so he's got to care about a tax increase, and he's got to care about a tax rollback. So he's really going to try to find the line. He wants to be on the side of the government, but he wants to be on the side of the people at the same time. And so you're going to hear him go back and forth a lot in this conversation about where he is.
Oh, it would be unfair to our directors, unfair to our staff, to say tighten your belt, which I believe we have to in these days. I think the citizens expect for us to tighten our belt and to be more efficient and be and great stewards. I think we could lead that, you know, in the next couple months, showing how we are cutting back and to hold all of the constitutionals as accountable as we are. But I do applaud you for what you're saying, because what you're saying is exactly right, is what I'm hearing from citizens.
So I agree with you, but I disagree with you. And I love the idea, but I hate the idea. And I would support it, but I'm not going to support it. You know, I mean, that's, well, maybe let's, can we do it in the spring? You know, my buddy Stephen Barry, who Lumen and Stephen almost always vote lockstep together. They've been on the board together for all these years. Lumen's basically saying, yeah, I mean, this is hard stuff. I'm with you. I'm not with you. But can we maybe do it in the spring? Let's not do it now. You know, very hemmy-hawy. Right? From him. So Steve Stroberger, again, District 1, says,
well, you know, we I know it's a long process, but it's not a long process for those folks out there. They're going to have to make budget cuts themselves right away. And so I can't believe there's nothing we can do. They're just finding out that they're getting a tax increase, and we're just telling them. over the course of a couple of meetings.
See, we have 4 points.
Maybe we can do something. Now, we're going to pause here. We're going to come back to this at 7 o'clock because it's going to get much more interesting, trust me. This is the first half of a two-part conversation. It's really part two of a three-part conversation we had at 5 a.m. too, but two main parts on this trim notice, MSP, or the millage, the property tax, all that stuff. And it takes time, okay? It was a long meeting, but I want you to hear it because I want you to hear who's on what side, what arguments are they making, and ultimately you hear that Stephen Schorberger's like, look, man, we got to think about the taxpayers. They're struggling. It's harder and harder for them to make ends meet. They're not getting raises at work. And here we are putting more property tax on them for, you know, what the governor has repeatedly explained. You don't make more money just because your home is worth more money. That's not how it works. But we do tax you more because your home is worth more money. It's part of the insanity of the property tax concept. And Stephen Schorberger is like, you know, look, at a certain point, you know, people say uncle. That's where the rollback rate comes into play. That's where we actually roll back the rate to the prior tax value so that people don't pay more in taxes year after year. Anyway, we'll come back to this, like I said, next hour, but that's your pause moment for today. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John, you look so disappointed.
Well, I'm going to go talk to the boss and find out if we can just have like one big section and we don't have to take breaks or anything. Yeah. You could just tell the whole story.
We still got to play the ads. We still got to, you know, that's how we make the money. Story. You know, that's the whole way this works.
All right, fine. Okay, listen, traffic, I-10, I-110 are looking good. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on 98 going eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, we're seeing about a 5 to 7 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying or selling a house, since we're talking about millage rates and property taxes and where you might want to live or not want to live in the future, you know, sometimes people move because of taxes or, you know, whatever. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty can help you with that, help you think through the not just the purchase price of a home, but the ongoing cost of that home from insurance, property taxes, maintenance, all that stuff. It's stuff you might not think about, but all of that is a key part of the price you can afford. And people stretch so much just to get the mortgage payment, and then you discover, oh, crap, that's not everything. Well, you know, part of having a good realtor is that they're going to help you figure that stuff out as well. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they sell a lot of homes. They're very good at this, and they can help you. 786-3996.
Looking for a new home or just love the latest in design and style? Don't miss the Home Builders Association of West Florida's Parade of Homes, the 10th of October through the 12th. Tour an incredible showcase of new homes across Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. See the craftsmanship of our local builders and explore products available right here in our community. For more information, visit paradeofhomespensacola.com. The Parade of Homes from the 10th of October through the 12th. Don't miss this annual showcase of new homes throughout Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
One of the nation's largest employers of people with disabilities is based right here in Pensacola, Global Connections to Employment, or GCE. Now they're creating more local jobs for people with disabilities through the launch of GCE Designs. Hear the inspiring story on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9. Visit gcedesigns.org to learn more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Now who's responsible? I say, who's responsible for this unwarranted attack on my person?
This is the Guess Who telling Andrew to calm down and slow down a little bit. 6:29 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Hey, kudos to President Trump. Part one of the peace deal has been agreed to by both sides. Obviously, they still have to do the prisoner exchange, but this is a major milestone, and absolutely, you have to give President Trump credit for even getting it this far. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Actually, that was the first story I was going to bring up, was that the
forget everything I said and listen to David. What do you got?
No, well, adding to that, though, the Israeli cabinet is preparing to vote on that deal possibly today, and the White House is anticipating 48 hostages. They say 20 of which they believe to be alive are expected to be released on Monday. Now, despite the announcement, there have been some explosions reported in southern Gaza, so there are still some continuing escalations there. Also, another quick note for you here. The final fugitive from that May jailbreak in New Orleans was arrested yesterday in Atlanta after a standoff with police. Derek Groves, he'd been on the run for over 4 months after he and nine other inmates escaped.
That's really kind of amazing. This was the whole, like, the video of them running out the loading dock and kind of stuff. How does somebody stay free that long? That's, I mean, honestly.
This is a Fox News Alert. I'm Gianna Gelosi. There are celebrations in Israel and Gaza as Israel and Hamas agree to the first phase of a ceasefire deal to potentially end the war.
I want to thank President Trump for bringing this amazing victory.
Two sides preparing for an exchange of Israeli hostages for Palestinian prisoners as soon as Monday.
What we're going to see here next will be an Israeli cabinet meeting. It's likely that most or all of those cabinet members will sign off on this deal. And then over the next 24 hours, we're likely to see the Israeli military redeploy inside of Gaza, moving back to a predetermined line.
That is Fox's Steve Harrigan in Tel Aviv. The Blue Jays beat the Yankees 5-2 in Game 4 to reach their first ALCS since 2016. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 73 degrees here in Pensacola. There is an investigation underway after a man was shot in the Montclair neighborhood last night. Happened on the 4400 block of DeVille Way. Officials say a victim was found in a front yard with a gunshot wound. He was taken to an area hospital. A gun and shell casings were found in that area. So far, there is no word on a potential suspect. Santa Rosa County lawmakers discussing a key environmental issue today. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this story. He says residents could pay for additional sewer services.
Santa Rosa commissioners will hold a public hearing today on a proposed ordinance requiring residents to switch from septic to sewer when service becomes available. Well, now, if passed, owners must connect within 365 days of notification. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Florida's District 1 Senator Don Gates introducing a bill that would require able-bodied Medicaid recipients without small children at home to work.
There are about 100,000 or more able-bodied people between 18 and 65 who are not taking care of small children at home who are on Medicaid. Their friends and neighbors are paying for their medical expenses, but yet they're able-bodied and able to work and aren't working.
Gates talked with Channel 3 about his series of proposals, which he says are designed to make the state more financially responsible. Gates says there needs to be a distinction between Medicaid recipients that can't get off the couch and recipients, he says, that won't get off the couch. Some low-income clinics that offer free health care in the area are bracing for an influx of new patients if the legislation is to pass. If it's enacted, Florida would become the first state to impose a work requirement without expanding Medicaid services. Well, officials warning that the ongoing government shutdown could result in delays at airports nationwide. As a matter of fact, there were delays at airports nationwide the last several days as air traffic controllers and TSA agents are working without pay until there's a resolution. Now, the issues haven't been as noticeable at the Pensacola airport.
A few minor delays, but they're very minor in nature, 20 minutes here and there. But everything's on target, and all our departures are on time right now. That's not to say it won't change, so what I'd recommend to everybody is just track via text messaging with their specific airlines for alerts. And
And that's Airport Director Matt Coughlin. He also says that they have a good relationship with both the FAA and TSA and so far haven't heard of any operational issues due to staffing, at least locally. Well, big news yesterday from the city of Pensacola. The search for a city administrator is over, and David Stafford has accepted that position.
In addition to that, someone who also, like me, who grew up in Pensacola, and the credibility and reputation that he has, which, you know, I consider a sterling reputation here, will be valuable for us as we not only get things done, but also convey that message to our citizens, and to have that, you know, type of credibility and reputation in our office will be great.
And that position had been vacant for a couple of months since Tim Kinsella left to take a job with Navy Fed. Stafford's first day on the job will be October 27th at 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report, but if you're on Highway 29 and West 10 Mile Road, we have a traffic light out there, so that's affecting traffic on Highway 29, so just be aware of that. But other than that, I'm not seeing any other delays. I'm John Piggins with your traffic on the fives.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are moderately lower on Gaza's new peace plan and fading Middle East risk premium. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $62.29 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $66 flat per barrel. Meeting minutes say that Fed officials in September were strongly inclined to lower interest rates, but the only dispute seeming to be over how many cuts are coming. The dot plot of individual members' expectations showed the group split 10 to 9, with the slim majority expecting two more cuts before the end of the year. Wind farm operator Ørsted shares rose 1% after it announced that it intends to reduce its workforce by a quarter toward the end of 2027 in a bid to become more competitive and refocus its efforts on Europe. Ørsted currently employs around 8,000 people worldwide and said it would reduce its headcount by 500 before the end of this year. Futures are mixed. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost one. That's Your Money Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Down, set, hut. We're kicking off for the season at Sonny's Barbecue. Whether you're tailgating at the big game or sharing a meal with friends, it's always Sonny's. Enjoy the new fall menu with Maple Barbecue Smoked Turkey Club or Maple Barbecue Pork Burn Ends. How about some sweet potato waffle fries or even our new pecan pie egg rolls? And don't forget the platter of slow-smoked chicken wings. Come see us at Sonny's with 4 locations in the News Radio area. Pace, 9th Avenue, Navy Boulevard, and Pine Forest. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
If my dog Ginger could speak English, you'd hear her say she wants her own doggy vacation at Play and Stay Pet Daycare when I go on vacation. But since she doesn't speak English, I'm going to translate. What's that? Play and Stay Pet Daycare is the only pet daycare in Pensacola with an on-site veterinarian. And they're cage-free with large indoor and outdoor play areas where you love to run and romp with your friends. So where are they? That's right. Play and Stay Pet Daycare is at 4220 North Davis Highway, across from Bailey's Farmers Market, online at olivebranchpethospital.com. Who's a good girl? Yeah.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Terms of reaction to, I'm not going to get heavy into that because I haven't seen a report, we haven't heard a date or a timeline on a report. So I've heard the same things you guys have heard, and I heard them at the same time you heard them.
This was Mayor D.C. Reeves in his press conference on Tuesday. We talked a little bit about this with him yesterday, but I think it's important to grasp the scope of this conversation around Florida Doge, the hit squad going around and trying to find problems that uncover, you know, do deep excavation and do the archaeology to really diligently understand all the numbers and not make dumb mistakes like, you know, calling out a $600,000 sign that was actually funded by the state as anyway. Okay, so but it's important to understand what's actually happening here. So the report still hasn't come out. Remember we talked about this last week? How can we evaluate the veracity of the claims made by the CFO, Blaise Ngolia, if we don't have the actual data of the report? They didn't reach back out to the city to talk to them about any of the things that they were going to raise as complaints, which has been pretty normal in the past. And do you hear that? What the mayor said? We haven't seen the report. There is no report. And, I mean, we learned about these things the same way you learned about these things through, what, social media and stuff.
You saw our response. Certainly we stand behind that.
That was the response by Jason Wheeler, the city PIO, explaining that here's how the Sanger works, dummies. Here's, I mean, he didn't say that, but, you know, read between the lines. Here's how the sign funding worked, dummies. and then, you know, the other part with the third part. Anyway, here we go.
Sanger is profitable. The welcome sign was paid for and agreed upon with state funds and no city funds. So you guys saw all of that. And so that's really our statement to this point.
I don't want to add too much to that. And, you know, I don't want to, which, listen, the mayor's in a bit of a tricky spot here, okay? Because it's good to get along with the governor. You're going to need things from the state government. I have the luxury of I can say stupid is stupid. A lot of times in politics, you can't just say stupid is stupid, unless you're Trump. Anyway, sometimes you say smart is stupid. Anyway, you know, I have the luxury of being able to call stuff out and have opinions and say, this is ridiculous. You know, but the mayor is going to need things from the governor, so he's got to light touch it a little bit. And by the way, look what happens when you criticize the governor. Ask Alex Andrade. Right? All kinds of projects got vetoed just because his name was on it after he criticized the governor, and not even the governor so much, but James Uthmeyer, right, the attorney general. So anyway, just keep that in mind. I mean, DC's being smart. He's doing what is good for the city, and he's not being too sharp with the words about the Doge.
I don't think we're going to speculate on a report we haven't seen or a timeline we haven't seen.
We don't know anything, so don't ask me any details. Now, you'll remember that I'm explaining this because it's going to set up this clip, which is not from D.C., but you're going to see why I play it. The argument made by the CFO of the state of Florida was, if you look at the 2019 budget for a place like Pensacola or Orange County or Broward County, and then you look at their current budget, and you look at the rate of inflation, you can't make those two things match. The rate of inflation would only justify a budget of much, much, much less, to the tune of, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars less across all of these different municipalities and counties. And what I said was, well, at first I see where you're going with this, but it doesn't seem like that serious of an accounting method. It's too big picture. You know, if you're going to buy firefighters or police officers or fire apparatus or ambulances, it's not enough to just say there's this overall rate of inflation. You've got to look line by line. And what did you spend? And was it a good spend? And did you waste money? Did you not waste money? It's like you can say the rate of inflation is 3%, but okay, your rate of inflation for ground beef is, you know, like 40%. So you can't just broad brush it. You've got to really get down and dig in the details. It's difficult to assess budgets and tell whether they're being done properly or not. That's why they do audits all the time, right? You know, so this Doge team of, again, what I have heard is a fairly inexperienced set of people who primarily learned how to do their job by asking the employees of the city. Serious. At least that's what I've heard, okay? So they come to town, and then they eventually he makes this announcement that, well, 2019 was his budget, and now the budget. See, it's outrageous. So Jim Little, and I just want to... Jim is a reporter for the PNJ. He's been here a long time. Gosh, almost as long as I've been here. And Jim is a very sort of straight-laced, down the middle, good reporter, neutral. This is a real troublemaker question, and I love him for asking it. Here goes.
Let me ask you a question about what the CFO said at the press conference last week. Mm-hmm. He was talking about Doge's methodology.
Okay.
And he said they went back to 2019 and used that as basically a baseline and then calculated inflation each year and then looked at the current year's budgets and the delta of that. They're just labeling wasteful spending. Mm-hmm. They mentioned Orlando was like $190 million. He didn't talk about Pensacola specifically, but do you think that methodology is a serious approach to finding wasteful spending?
Oh my God. It's such a great question. So what the CFO's done is looked at 2019 and 2025 and or 2024 and looked at the inflation rate and looked at the budget and said, well, this is obviously wasteful spending because the inflation rate doesn't justify your increase in budget. Mr. Mayor, do you think that's a serious accounting approach to addressing this question? Because the answer is no. John, you're an accountant.
Yes.
Is the answer no?
Yes.
The answer's no.
By all means.
The answer is not just no, but no. Hell no, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, right? Kind of, mm-hmm. You know. And the mayor, I know, look, I'm sure the mayor wants to say.
There's a lot of things I think he wants to say, Andrew.
And the mayor hasn't said them because he's being diplomatic. He's being a good mayor. He's doing what's good for the city. But John, if you had the liberty to play mayor for a second, your answer would be, is that a serious accounting? Here, let me let Jim Little ask the question again.
That methodology is a serious approach to finding wasteful spending.
John?
It's not. I mean, fiber in my being just wants, yeah.
It's so silly. Right. And
it's the worst I've ever heard.
So Jim Little is not at all an editorialist or an opinion maker. He's a journalist. But that is the most pointed question I have ever heard him ask. That
I
is
love
exactly
that
right. And of course, you know, and DC doesn't answer this question. He can't answer this question. Not the way he wants to, not and do what's best for the city with his relationship with the governor and all. So I just appreciate it. Now, yesterday when I talked to the mayor, we talked about this a little bit. I'll come back to that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Still seeing some delays on Highway 29 southbound as you approach the 10-mile road. The light is working again from reports that I got, so good news on that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. You know, back in 1969 when Robert Peden was living in Panama City and he was in Florida and it was summer and he was hot. And he thought, I'd like to not be hot. So he said, I'll learn how to do air conditioning. And he's like, all right, this works. I can sell this to people. And he started selling to people. And then he started selling to more people. And then he started expanding. And then, like, well, if we're going to do air conditioning, we should do heating. And if we should do heating and air conditioning, why not learn how to do electrical? That's related. Well, if we can do electrical and heating and air conditioning, we're already inside people's homes working on stuff. How about we learn to do plumbing? That makes sense. So now all these years later, they do plumbing, electrical, heating, and air conditioning all along the Gulf Coast, everywhere from Tallahassee all the way over to Mobile, even into the other state, the one we don't talk about all the time, in Alabama. Good quality products, good quality installation, stand by the product, 100% satisfaction guarantee. That's why they have been around for this long. And right now at Peden, you know, they kind of change their specials every month. And right now the special is, if you call them for a repair and you do the repair that their professionals recommend, they'll waive the dispatch fee. You know, there's a fee to have them come out and look, which is really normal in the industry these days. It did not used to be, but it really is now. And so if you do their work they recommend, then the dispatch fee gets waived, and it's just the cost of the work. Plus, you get a full year of SmartCare membership. It's like warranty, kind of standby service, first call, that kind of stuff. That SmartCare membership comes free with that. You can call or book online or get more information, and please ask your questions at Peden, PEADEN.com. All right, back to the mayor. The answer that the mayor was giving in the press conference was, he was saying, look, staff spent a lot of time working on this Doge stuff. You know, I don't know what other municipalities or counties can say, but we did everything they asked. We give them voluminous information. We spent a lot of time on this. And here's how the conversation that I had with him went. And I just want you to hear it in case you didn't hear the mayor's interview yesterday, because it clicked with me what he was saying without saying it. Yesterday, you indicated you didn't have anything to add. And I just want to make sure nothing has changed. You still don't have the report. You don't have the data. They haven't come back and asked for you for clarification. We're kind of at the same place we've been, right?
Yeah, that's right. And as I mentioned yesterday, all I think about is, you know, we had to drop what we were doing. We had 47 staff members involved in this. We had, I believe it was 60,000 emails of metadata, countless gigabytes of data that was shared. And again, if you printed it out and lined it up end to end, it would go 50 miles long. That's how much data we shared. I'm just appreciative of our staff dropping what they were doing to handle, as we said from the beginning, whatever questions you ever have about how this government operates, we're happy to answer them. Those couple of things that we certainly have differing opinions on are the biggest issues, it is what it is. But to your point, no idea when a report's coming, none of that at this point.
It sounds to me like the compliance process was very time and personnel intensive, and it kind of sounds like you're saying maybe that one of the most inefficient things the city of Pensacola has done in the last few months is comply with the Department of Government Efficiency people from the state of Florida.
That's one opinion.
I know the political realities here. That's fine. That's fine. I'll let you off. Right. Yeah, I'll let him off the hook on this. But, I mean, that's what I think his answer highlights is, do you know how much time and personnel and waste and how much information we provided to them in the process of them finding, and he did not say this, I'm saying this, what looks to most observers like a pretext for the property tax stuff. You know, we're going to make all these counties and cities look stupid, and we're not going to show our work, and we're going to make all these allegations, and some of them are going to turn out to be completely stupid, like the welcome sign one. And then later on, if we ever get around to publishing a report, you know, maybe people will have forgotten, and they'll just have covered it in the press conference and the sound bites, and that'll be enough to create this, you know, because taxpayers are frustrated, and let's be honest, people don't do their diligence, and social media and TikTok are telling people what to believe, and so, you know, if we game that cycle enough, we can get enough political push that when we come back and say, let's cut your property tax, people are like, yeah, man, I remember that stupid welcome sign in the Sanger Theater. Let's cut our property taxes. I don't know why, you know, Randy Savage is the voice of...
Yeah, I was wondering,
the electorate. Step into a Slim Jim. Vote for property tax reduction. So,
step into a Slim Jim.
But, you know, that seems to be what they're doing. And again, I will say, I have not seen the report, so how can we know for sure? That's the problem. 652 on. So I love the mayor for declining to say what he, I think, would really like to say, what I am saying, if he can't say it. So 437-1620. This Doge stuff is looking, the Florida Doge stuff is looking more and more ridiculous by the day. But we'll see. We got to wait for the report so we can really know. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. What do you think? Do you think the Florida Doge stuff is doing good work? Yeah, they're exposing corruption. Do you think the Florida Doge stuff is a pretext and a silly political exercise? Yeah, it's a total exercise. You tell me. I'm curious. 437-1620. If you're looking at that next vehicle, or maybe almost, like, not quite yet looking for that next vehicle, that's actually the time to start figuring out what you want to do, because it's not when you're in need. It's not when you've had a wreck or a big repair or whatever, something has gone wrong and you really need to buy a car. That's not the right time, because if you've done that before, you know, it's stressful, it's challenging, there's only so much available, it makes you feel all overwhelmed. No, go looking ahead of time. Go looking before you need. This is what we did when we wanted to replace our Grand Caravan. We thought we wanted a Honda Odyssey, but we weren't sure. And we went 6 months before. We knew the head gasket was going, but it wasn't gone. And so we figured we had about 6 months. And so we went looking to find a car. And we wanted to test drive the Honda Odyssey of the make of the model year that we were looking at. They were not making that model year anymore. And then the pre-owned certifieds, you couldn't get them. It was a real hassle. We started calling it our unicorn to find one to drive. And so we found one at Frontier Motors. We drove it. We liked it. They said, you want to look at a price? And I said, well, I mean, we're not buying a car, but sure, why not? Oh, this is a good price. Can you come down a little bit? We can. This is the color we want, trim model. This is everything we want. Low miles. can you give us a date? You know, and then, like, can you come down a little bit more? And Calvin, our sales guy's like, yeah. And I'm like, all right, well, can we buy the car? He's like, yeah. And it was that easy. Now, your process may be different, but that's what happened to us. The point is, look early, and then you're relaxed enough that you don't have to take something that seems like, I got to take this deal. That puts you in a position of power. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks. Rent a kayak or a paddle boat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center. Or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers. Tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit PlayPensacola.com or follow social media at Play Pecola Parks. It's time to get out and play.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
Hurricane season is here, and Gulf Breeze Natural Gas helps provide the most reliable energy source. There are advantages to having natural gas in your home or business. Major storms typically do not cause widespread outages because gas lines are buried and protected. Most appliances, including cooking and hot water, still work during electrical outages. A gas generator gets everything back up and running within 30 seconds. That's the length of this commercial. Learn more about how to be best prepared at GulfBreezeNaturalGas.com.
Blackley throws it up near sideline towards the end zone. Four-man rush. Mendoza stepping up. He goes down.
House call. Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
Start your college football day this Saturday with the Florida State Seminoles and the Pitt Panthers in a key ACC matchup on the Seminole Sports Network.
FSU welcomes the Pitt Panthers Saturday. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. on News Radio 92.3.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hi, I'm Larry. This is my brother Daryl. That's my other brother Daryl.
To Americans was to care about free speech and engage in dialogue, to compete in the marketplace of ideas. He wanted everyone to have the same equal rights and opportunities as everyone else. So, you know, if folks felt that, you know, he was divisive, I'd encourage you to go back and really try and listen to his words with more of an open mind, because all he ever advocated for were equal rights for everyone.
State Representative Alex Andrade there online with WEAR yesterday in their story coverage for the effort, I think a ridiculous effort, to rename a street at every college campus in the state of Florida after Charlie Kirk, including Campus Drive at UWF and College, or Campus Drive and College Boulevard, I think, at PSC. Just, I think he's great. He's smart. He's wonderful, Charlie Kirk. That doesn't mean that you should be doing this for everybody in the entire state. If UWF wants to name a street for him, let him, of course. If FSU wants to rename a street for him, let him, of course. But we don't need some legislator or the legislature as a whole renaming every single college street. It's amazing to me. And we talked about this a lot yesterday. Let's see. David Wayne, did we do traffic yet? Oh, John, go ahead.
You had forgot about me, but I was interested in your story there.
Go on. By the way, I don't know that Alex came out in support of the effort. He was very careful there promoting Charlie Kirk, and I agree. I don't know that he's on board with actually agreeing to this legislation. We'll see. Go ahead.
All right, no accidents to report to you. If you're on Highway 90 headed southbound into Pensacola, experience about a 5 to 7 minute delay. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
All right, John, thanks so much. David Wayne's in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, California has become the first state to legislate the phase out of ultra-processed foods from public school meals. Their governor signed off on the bill, which sets a 10-year timeline for implementation and aims to improve kids' health by banning harmful foods.
I think he also signed a bill that would require online streaming services to play commercials at roughly the same volume as the shows.
Finally, common sense legislation.
The volume justice bill.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. I heard Laura Hussey and Jared talking about that this morning on Channel 3, and I thought, all right, all right. I mean, I can disagree with everything else you do, Mr. Newsom, but I think there's not a person in America who disagrees with that one. So, all right, David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, coming up next, the installment number 3 of our conversation about the Escambia budget hearing. Oh, man, this is the doozy. This is the payoff. Stick around. Local news.